For a message this morning, my mind directed direction I realized was fairly close to the Sunday school lesson, but I plan to follow that anyway and kind of, in a way, go deeper into to our similarities to Christ. As a Christian, we're to be like Christ. That includes having the mind of Christ and living like Him in many different ways. I heard of an account where there was two twins, where there was twins born to a poor mother in Ohio somewhere. She gave birth to them in a small town, and then she disappeared. It's a poor situation. And the two boys were adopted out into different homes and grew up each knowing that they had a twin brother somewhere, but not knowing the other one. And as they grew up, they had a desire, especially the one had a desire to find his twin brother. But they lived in different towns in Ohio. And eventually, when they were 39 years old, they had a chance to meet each other. The one drove to Dayton, Ohio, where the other one lived to meet his brother, and found the house, nervously went to the door, knocked on it, and when his brother came to the door, they stood there and stared at each other speechless. They were identical twins, and they looked identically like each other. They were both had been named Jim by their parents, by their adopted parents. They both enjoyed woodworking. They both had just finished building some furniture for their homes. They both had married women with the same name, Linda. They were amazed how identical they were, how much each looked like the other. I don't know for a fact if that story is true. It seems, with all the details that were included in it, that it may be. But the question is, for us, the word Christian means that we're like Christ. If someone sees Christ, if someone sees you, how much do they see of Christ? Do they see a mirror image of Christ? Do they see the features, the characteristics, the traits of Christ when they see you? How much do you look like Christ? We know we're created by God to worship Him, and we're created to bring Him glory, but He wants us to be like Him. Main verse I would point you to, or I would say would be our text, would be 2 Corinthians 3:18. You don't need to turn to it right now. We'll look at it more later. But it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We become identical to God as we allow Him to work in our lives and to help us to grow like Him. So we should be becoming more and more like Him. In our fleshly nature, and as we're born and with our carnal nature, we are totally different than God. Our nature is opposite of what God's nature is. But as we allow Him into our life and allow Him to work in us, we put on the mind of Christ, and we become like Him. And we become like Him to the point where we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Many people would say, okay, I mean, you can look at being a Christian as different ways, and many people would look at it as being a good person or going to church or being right, being a member somewhere. But I would like to say this morning, being a Christian is being like Christ. It's living and behaving and responding to things like Jesus would, having His mind, thinking like He would. is really what being a Christian is. To be a Christian means to be as much like Christ in your everyday life as you can possibly be. It means putting Jesus higher in your life than anything or anybody else. When we do that, when we put Christ above others, it makes it hard for others to understand us, or hard for others to, others will have questions. But when we put Christ first, that's what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means to emulate Jesus Christ in the very way you live your life, and everything in your life doesn't... if everyone in your life doesn't know that you are serving Christ, that you are a Christian, are you really a Christian? If they can't see Christ in you, if they don't see that something's different about you, can't pick Christ out in your life, are you really a Christian? How much does he stand out in your life? Your values and priorities should not make sense without understanding Christ. As Brother Luke pointed out last Sunday in his sermon, the way to a true Christian, someone who's serving him, to understand them, you need to understand Christ. If you understand Christ, you understand their values and their what's driving them and what their priorities are. And the world, as they don't understand Christ, as they don't understand that mind, they're going to have a hard time understanding why we do things the way we do, why we prioritize some things, why we value some things more than what is commonly valued in the world around us. As the Apostle Paul did when he was on the road to Damascus and was struck down and received Christ, there's a change in our life. There's a change that comes about as we meet Christ and as we decide to follow him. Matthew 4, Jesus, first of all, wants us to follow him as we become a Christian, as we become like Christ. He wants us, part of that is following him. And when Jesus called his disciples, he asked them to follow him. He told them to follow him. He isn't just talking about following along behind. He isn't just talking about coming along to see what's happening, but he wants us to participate and wants us to mimic and do what he is doing. Sometimes when children are playing follow the leader, they follow along, the leader does one thing, and everyone else follows and does exactly that. Whether they understand what the purpose is in it or not, or whether they understand fully the reason for it or not. And I would like to say that to follow Christ, we don't always understand exactly Christ's teaching. We don't always understand exactly the reasons that he has us do things. And yet, as we follow him, we follow his actions, we follow the things he's told us to do, whether we understand them fully or not, we follow them completely, and we follow them totally. It's part of following him the way we should. You could kind of, and it's part of the sanctification that comes with being a Christian. We grow closer to him. Probably the first step as we become a Christian is to believe in him. And he starts showing us the things that need to change in our life, things that need to become like him. As we grow closer, our lives pattern more like him, but really to be like Christ is to be a disciple of his. And it's more than just believing in him. It's more than just following him or patterning our lives after him. It's to hold him up and to pursue Him with all heart, with all our being, with all our life, to worship Him and praise Him with all that we do, with all our actions, from the work we do. You know, if the work we do is for Christ, as the all of our actions as we go from day to day need to be in service to Him. And really, that's what He's looking for. That's what it means to serve Christ, to live for Him, and to be a follower of His. To follow Him with all of our life. Not just our beliefs, our thinking, not just in faith, but it affects our actions and it affects all our actions. Jesus calls us to look like Him. He wants us to look like Him. He's not just talking about physically. Even though we know our bodies are patterned somewhat after His. But spiritually. In Matthew 22, I'm going to quote a number of references this morning. I'm not going to turn to many of them. Matthew 22, 36 to 39, the lawyer came to Jesus and asked Him to, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And I appreciate the way this came out in Sunday school too. The way, if we're going to follow Christ, first thing is to love God. And asked her, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And if we're going to become a Christian, we're going to become like Christ. It starts with loving Him with our whole heart, with our whole being. Our whole being, we're following after Him. Jesus, as He was here on earth, He set an example for us in, first of all, loving His Father, because He served His Father the whole way through His life, and through His death. He served His Father. It was out of the love for the Father that he lived in this world, did the things that He did, and went to the cross. But closely related to that also then is His love for His neighbor, His fellow man, for us. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so, as we pattern our lives after Christ, as we become like Him, most important thing is to follow those two commandments, to love God and love our fellow man. And loving God is kind of one thing, but we find out a little bit how our love to God is by how we love others. And how easily we're offended at them, how easily we become angry at them, how easily we lose our patience, how much time we have for others, how much we can invest in the lives of others. Our job, again, is to let Jesus transform our hearts to be like His. And as we... Many times, well, our lives are a reaction to the things that happen to us. And again, that goes back a little bit to last Sunday's message. But Jesus lived in this world, and it's not that the things that happened to Him were totally different than happened to us. He was a man common. He lived a life like us. And the things that happened to Him happened to us. Many of the same things do. But His response to them is what we need a pattern after. And it shows we can gauge our lives and see how our lives are by how we respond to the things that come into our lives. We have a choice in how we react to the circumstances that come our way. If we're going to react to them the way the carnal nature would have us react, or if we're going to react to them the way the spiritual nature and God's nature would have us respond. Jesus will transform our spirit to look like His, but we need to allow Him to do that. Again, we can easily tell how it's been by how our responses are. We choose who we're going to, what we're going to think about. If we're going to think about the things of this world, or if we're going to think about spiritual values. Jesus, as he was here on this earth, was many things that he could have dwelled on, many things that he could have thought on. My mind goes back many times to when the disciples were walking with Jesus close to the end of his life, walking past the temple, and they said, you know, look at the temple. Look how magnificent it is. Look how wonderful it is. Isn't it something? And it was magnificent. It was a huge, and many times we're impressed. We can be impressed by buildings, by a magnificent building, something that man has done. But it was something that man had done. And Jesus' mind was not on that magnificent building. It was not on that temple, even though that was a good place. But his mind was on what was going to happen. And he told them to prepare their hearts, because that building is one day soon going to be laid waste. And they better be prepared for that. Where are our minds? What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about what we're doing from day to day? Or our minds on spiritual things? And we have to plan, we have to do a certain, our minds have to think a certain amount on our spiritual things. But do our minds often go to what really matters? And go to the spiritual things of life? What would be the mind of Christ? In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God uses the Bible, his word, to renew our minds, to teach us, and to help us to know his mind, and to help us, our mind, to become like his, for us to become patterned after his will. 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we had referenced the beginning: but we all, with open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God's Spirit speaks to us. And that was referenced in Sunday school also. God's Spirit works in our life and makes us become like him. There's times when God uses others to shape our thinking and help us become like him. In Galatians 2, Paul confronted Peter in front of many other believers. And it has shaped the formation of the church, shaped how the church looked at issues, helped others to become like Christ. God uses other people to renew our minds also. In our fleshly nature, we are proud, and we tend to be arrogant. We tend to think that we have the answers. We tend to think that we're right. But as we become like Christ, as we put on his nature, we become teachable. We become open to allowing him to speak to our lives. I'm going to just turn to Luke chapter 5. There's probably a couple verses there I'll read. Matthew. Luke 5, the first several verses. It's an example of the people there coming after Jesus and being open to his teaching. And he entered into one of the ships. There's two ships standing by the lake. People were pushing, pressing upon him to hear the word of God. Saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going into them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And And he left off speaking. He told them to launch out into the deep and let they listened to him. Many people in our world and in our carnal nature, we're not willing to listen. We're not willing to learn. We're not interested in hearing what other people have to say many times. As we have the mind of Christ, we want to, we're open and we want to drink in what he has to teach us. And we hear and make it a part of our life. And it has to do also with how we're in our carnal nature. We like to be out in front. We like to be seen and we like to lead. We like to be the ones in charge. As we have the mind of Christ, generally we allow others, we're willing to allow others to take the lead. We're willing to allow others to take the, we're willing to submit to others. We become flexible and willing to learn new ways, better ways. Willing to open ourselves up to what God directs us many times through other people. In our ungodly fleshly nature, we're concerned with how we look and what our position in life is. Whereas God's nature changes that, and we no longer seek to be the center of attention, and we no longer are pushing for people to know how many good things we've done. God's nature is to help others, even if we're not recognized, even if we're not seen. Christ's nature is to think more about others than we do about ourselves. We stop thinking about our personal image, start thinking of others, more about others. In our new nature, we stop demanding that everything go the way we want it to go. And we're willing to follow and support others in doing what's right and doing good. How things should be going for the good of God's people, for what God wants done. Third main point is we know who we are. As we have the mind of Christ, we know who we are. We find identity. We find a purpose and a place in life. Identifying with Christ and having his mind in us gives us a purpose and a value in life. We know that Christ created us. We know that he's owns us. Without Christ, we're floundering around. We're lost. We are trying to find a place and purpose in life. If we have God's mind in us, it grounds us. It helps us to know who we are and gives us a purpose in life and gives us motivation and reason to live. First, in Colossians 1:13-14 says this, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. To know that we were sinners, that we were bound for destruction, and Jesus rescued us and redeemed us, saved us, and has a purpose for us. He has a plan for us, plan for our lives, gives us purpose in life. Part of having, part of being a Christian, part of being like Christ, we have a purpose, we have a motive, and we have work to do. Further down in Colossians 1, it says this, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." He wants to present us as holy and unblameable. There's work to do. There's work to do in our lives, and there's work to do for others. To walk the true Christian walk, we must always remember who we are and what we have. In other words, and that has to do with that aspect of holiness, because we are Christ, and because of what he has done for us, we have responsibility, we have things to do. Let's turn to Romans 12. Speaks some about what a Christian thinks and what mind we should have. Romans 12, 9 through 16, I want to read. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, minding not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If we remember all that God has done for us, we want to walk the walk of a true Christian. And this passage details a lot of that. Love be without dissimulation, hating evil, cleansing ourselves, doing what's right. Again, talking about love for each other. But then it talks about business life. It talks about tribulation. It talks about helping others, distributing the necessity of saints. Talks a good bit there in several verses about non-resistance and how we relate to those that do unkind things to us, persecute us, or harm us in other ways, take vengeance on us, and to return good for evil. It has, all those things are part of being like Christ. That is how we truly become a real Christian. God shapes us to serve him. In other words, God has a plan for us, and he wants us to serve him, and he helps us to become that. He helps us to become what he wants us to be. Job 10:8, he says this, thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. God made us, and he will make us and equip us with the things we need to be like him and to do his will. He is faithful in doing that. He will make us if we allow him to. Many times we like to make ourselves. We like to direct our own lives. And we like to go after our own things. But God will be faithful in helping us to become what we should be if we allow him to. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created by Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, created by Christ Jesus, unto good works. God shapes us as we pattern our lives after him, and as we invest our lives in others. We have to be careful. So many influences in the world around us that want to detract our hearts from, first of all, serving God, And secondly, want to detract our hearts from getting along with others, thinking, standing up for our own rights and dividing, doing things that divide our lives from the lives of others. We must be careful not to allow those influences in the world around us to affect us, to make a difference in who we are. But Jesus, when he came to this world, he didn't come to be ministered to, but he came to be to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. And our purpose in life is to serve others. And we need, if we follow after that, we need to follow after that. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Thinking of following that thought of investing our lives in the lives of others, and in that way, saving ourselves, saving our own lives. Most times it's easy to help others if it's convenient for us, and if we get some kind of benefit out of it, if we get some kind of credit out of it, or benefit in some way. But to really invest our lives in others the way Christ wants us to, he wants us to invest, he wants us to help others. And he tries us, he tests us out when it's not convenient, and when we don't get the benefit from it, when we're not recognized. Those are true tests of whether we're going to help others, whether we're helping others the way we should, if we're helping others the way Christ did. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us to put no stumbling block in another's path, because if we do, we're going to receive the blame for it. We'll be punished for harming others. That's what Satan does. Satan tries to make others stumble. He tries to trip us up. He tries to trip others up. And so if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to be trying to help others and not doing anything to trip someone else up or to cause another man to stumble, cause another man to fall. We're going to be careful not to offend others and that's not to give anyone a reason to justify their own failure because blame it on someone else. But we need to be careful that we're not causing others to stumble and to fall. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." God shapes us through our experiences. The experiences that come into our life will either help cause us to grow or cause us to become hardened in sin. If we help others, sometimes even when we do the right things, we can do them for the wrong motives. Matthew 6:1 says about doing alms, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have your reward. You have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." So many things that are right to do, but we can do them with the wrong motive. And if we do them with the wrong motive, we lose the blessing. We lose the benefit from them. Proverbs 3:27-28 says this: "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee, when thou hast it by thee." We need to do good to others when we have the opportunity to do good, not necessarily when it's convenient for us. God sees and is watching how we respond to those kind of situations. Ephesians 6:7-8 says, "With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." A Christian life is a life of doing things not to be seen of men, not to be seen in this life, but it's because we know that God sees us and we're doing things to please Him. We're doing what's right because He will see. And that directs our life even when no one around us will see. We know God still does. And it's part of having the mind of Christ, part of being a Christian, part of doing what is right. Being a Christian is not for our glory, but it's for the glory of God. Revelation 1:6, He hath made us kings and priests unto God and to His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're not being a Christian for our own glory, for our own sake, but any righteousness, any goodness that comes out of our lives is for His glory, for His to bring Him praise. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 27, verse 19. It says about talks about our faces being reflected, as in water, face answereth the face, so the heart of man to man. And the context and the thought there is that we reflect who we want to reflect the face of God. We want to reflect heavenly glory. Just as the face is reflected, the heart will reflect the person. And our heart, what's in our heart will show. What's in our heart will come out. And if as we follow Christ, as we've patterned our life after God, it will show. Others will see it. And we want to make sure that that's reflecting the glory of God. God filled us with His Spirit to help us become like Him. And to help us to do the things that He wants us to do. And to complete every detail, to make every piece fit His likeness, to be like Him. In conclusion, I would let you just with the picture. You've probably seen those puzzles where there's a page with two pictures on that are very similar. And you're supposed to pick out the differences. You're supposed to pick out minor details that are different from one to the other. If Christ is shown in one image and your life is shown in another, what would people see? Would they look for differences and have a hard time finding differences between your life and Christ? It'd be so closely patterned that it'd be you'd have to spend a lot of time really picking out, really studying it to see the differences. Or would the images be so different they'd say, well, that's not even the same thing. That doesn't look the same. There's way more differences than you could even describe. Hopefully our lives are like His, and as God's Spirit works in our life, we become more and more like Him. Those differences become more and more the same. And there's nothing that when we see Him, we will be like Him, because we will see Him face to face. His Spirit will have worked in us, and we become like Him. And as we show that life, as we live that life in this world, it's a tremendous light and a testimony for Him. Let's pray.